Might have to move around a little bit here and there. As we move on in the book of Joshua, we're going to look at chapter 4 this morning and the first 10 verses of chapter 5. Last week I preached on preparing to cross over and how important that is. How important that was for the children of Israel at this stage, as you read the book of Joshua, but also how important it is that we ourselves are prepared to cross over. For one day, all of us will come to that point in our life. And we need to be prepared for that. Well, at this juncture of the time, here in these next two chapters of Joshua, we have what is recorded for us, the significance of memorials, of monuments, if you want to call them that, but of memorials, I prefer. And two specific kinds that the Israelites were to set up. Now, I believe that this is a good lesson for us today, and what has been happening in our world, and what has been happening in our country. What has been happening and even is happening in our country regarding monuments and memorials. Good lesson here, of course, in that. So let's begin with the beginning of the fourth chapter of Joshua. It says, now when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua. This is now the third time that Yahweh speaks to Joshua directly, specifically. When all the nation, first time we see it, the children of Israel also mentioned as a nation, as a group, specific group of people. Now when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe. And again, this goes back to Joshua chapter 3, verse 12. And command them, saying, now Yahweh is the one that's talking here. Very important to remember this. Take up for yourself 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet are standing firm, and carry them over with you, and lay them down in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight. So most all the people had crossed over, except for the priest, Joshua, and those 12 men that he had picked out, that is recorded in chapter 3, verse 12. The first kind of memorial here is two piles of stones. Not one, but two, and we'll get to that. The text is very clear on this. But now you know the significance of those 12 men Yahweh had Joshua pick out, as recorded in chapter 3, verse 12. Now notice what happens here. So Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, again to the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Now remember this time the Jordan River is dry. God had separated the waters. He had caused the waters to back up, to stay put, so they could cross on dry land. And each of you take up a stone on his shoulder. Now, it doesn't tell us how big those stones were, but they were probably pretty good size. I mean, they weren't pebbles. Okay, we're not talking about little pebbles. We're talking about big enough that they could put on their shoulders. That's got to be pretty good size, I would think. According to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. Sons of Jacob. The sons of Israel. Now notice what Yahweh says, what God tells Joshua. Let this be a sign among you, so that when your children ask later, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall say to them, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. Now notice in verse 8 what we have here. Thus the sons of Israel did as Joshua commanded, those 12 men, and took up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, just as the Lord spoke to Joshua according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. And they carried them over with them to the lodging place and put them down there. Now notice verse 9. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan at the place where the feet of the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing, and they are there to this day. Now it's been 20 years since that time when Joshua wrote this. So those stones have still been there. Verse 10 says, for the priests who carried the ark were standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything was completed that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. And the people hurried and they crossed over. Now we're talking, we're talking over 1 million people here. Plus all their livestock. That's a lot of people. But it says they didn't dilly-dally. They hurried and crossed. And when all the people had finished crossing the ark of the Lord, and the priests crossed before the people. Now I want to come back to this. What is being stressed here? The third time Yahweh speaks directly to Joshua, and Joshua speaks to the people. Obedience is being stressed. They didn't tell God, they didn't tell Yahweh, what is it you want us to do? You want us to take up 12 stones? Hey! We gotta get to the promised land. We won't be in the promised land. What are you telling us to do these things for? They didn't question God. Joshua didn't question Yahweh. The people didn't question Joshua. They were faithful. They obeyed. They did what God told them to do. Unlike what happened 40 years ago in the wilderness, huh? when God told them to go into the land. They were where they near where they are now. But God made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years because they said, "No, it's too hard for us." And then, you know, we know the story. They tried to do it anyway, didn't they? And God wasn't with them, was He? The Canaanites repulsed them, attacked them. And they learned He's in control. Yahweh is in control. And this time, Joshua and Caleb and those who were 19 and under have now grown up. And they're the only ones left after the wilderness wanderings with Joshua and Caleb and those 19 and under who are now, you know, not 19 and under. But they obeyed. They knew the consequences of disobedience
and rebellion.
And rebellion, yes.
Korah.
Why did they do what God told them to do? As we read the text, those things were set up so the children of Israel, so the nation of Israel, so the Israelites could look back on what God had done for them in the past. And you see when you're reading the text here that once that is all done, the priests who are carrying the ark move ahead. They take the lead. After all the people had crossed, the ark of the covenant is once again moved to the lead position after the crossing. Now, what do we learn from this? I like what Brother James Smith says concerning this. One of the biggest lessons we can learn from this is that Yahweh, the Lord God, Yahweh honored His own word that day. He had promised to exalt Joshua, had He not? He had promised to exalt Joshua in the eyes of the people. And that is exactly what He did. The people, what it tells us in verse 14 here. The sons of Reuben, the sons of Gad, the half tribe of Manasseh crossed over in battle array before the sons of Israel, just as Moses had spoken to them. About 40,000 equipped for war crossed the battle before the Lord to the desert plains of Jericho. Those are the 2.5 tribes. Now look at what verse 14 says. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, so that they revered him just as they had revered Moses all the days of his life. So God had them do that so that they would look back on what God had accomplished, on what Yahweh had done for them in the past. But it was also a promise, not just to look back in the past, but they were also set up as a promise to the children of Israel. That God would care for them in the future. Not just the past, not just the present, but in the future. Now this is highly significant. Notice what Yahweh had told Joshua. Verses 6 and 7. Let this be a sign among you so that when your children ask later, saying, "What do these stones mean to you?" Then you shall say to them, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when they crossed the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, so these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. Why? This is highly significant. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. What did God tell Moses there? To teach the people. This is part of that. What did God tell them? What did Yahweh say? He said, you write them. You write them on your doorposts. You keep them before you. What? My words. My instruction. You go back to Deuteronomy 6, what he says there. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you great splendid cities which you did not build, and houses of all good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you are eat and are satisfied. Then watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord who brought you up, who brought you from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery. You shall fear only the Lord your God, Yahweh. And you shall worship Him and swear by His names. And he goes on there. But the purpose, the significance of that, comes back to Deuteronomy 6. Why God had them put those stones there. As a sign, as a memorial. For them to remember. To remember what Yahweh had done for them in the past and in the present. They had crossed the Jordan. They had obeyed and been faithful to Him. He had honored His word. He had fulfilled it. He made a promise and He kept it. And those stones were to represent the fact that He did it. And they were to teach their children that. They were to say to their children as they grew up, hey, boys and girls, children, sons, daughters, you know, there in that camp where we first camped at Gilgal, there's some stones there. You know what those stones represent? And they would ask questions, well, what are all these? What do these stones mean? They were to know the answer. To tell them. The same thing with the stones that Joshua placed. There for a reason. Now, let's bring this back to home for us. We also have memorial. Monuments as a church and as Christians, and they are to help us to know that God honors, He keeps His promises. We know, we read in the scripture, just as Brother Mike read in the Lord's Supper meditation. We run the race, as Paul ran the race. We run the race throughout life. And as we run that race, we come up with spiritual battles. We are in a battle. We are in warfare. We must never forget that. And we have difficulty as Christians. And these, what this is a lesson for us in this today as well. In that first pile that Joshua set up in the middle of the Jordan, you know there's an inscription on a stone in Lake Geneva, Switzerland. And that stone said, if it's still there, it was put there many, many years ago, but the inscription on that stone in Lake Geneva in Switzerland says this: when you read this, weep. What was that to signify? What it meant was that the waters in Lake Geneva were so low, there was a drought. No water. No water, how do you survive? How do you live? Right? That's why it said, when you see this, weep. If you could see that stone, you weep because the water is so low. However, the stones that Joshua put in the middle of the Jordan meant exactly the opposite. Those stones were to symbolize and show the memorial that when you see these stones, when the waters of the Jordan would once again be so low that you could see those stones that Joshua had piled up in the middle of the Jordan, what they said was, remember my people. Remember what happened here this day. Remember how God's people, how your ancestors, how your descendants crossed the middle of the Jordan because of what Yahweh did. Because of what He did. And those in that pile of stones they took to that location on dry land, those stones stood as a perpetual witness to God's interest in the Israelites. Can you imagine? The people probably had many questions. Right? Now what verse 20 tells us? Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th of the first month and camped at Gilgal on the eastern edge of Jericho. Those 12 stones which they had taken from the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the sons of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall inform your children, saying, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God, Yahweh, dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed. Just as the Lord your God had done to the Red Sea, which He dried up before us until we had crossed, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God, you may be in reverence, you may be in awe of Him forever. Yahweh, it was a memorial to God's faithfulness and would be a reminder of His trustworthiness in the days ahead. God's people have been waiting since Abraham's time to enter that land that He had promised them. But then they disobeyed Him, didn't they? And they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Now this thing had two purposes. Notice that in verse 19 it precisely dates when this happened, it's precisely given. Why? To instruct future generations. Again, it goes back to Deuteronomy 7, chapter 6. And that's a lesson for us today as well. This taught the children of Israel, and the lesson was not just them, but also to tell the other nations around them that Yahweh is different, that Yahweh is a living God, that He has real power, and He is imminent in the world. He is involved in the world. He cares about the world. Because He created it. Now God gives us things today so that we can remember as well, which helps to give us faith. But also, that it should be a witness to the world that God is powerful and different. God, Yahweh, contrary to what many people may say today, Yahweh is not a figment of one's imagination. He is not a God who cannot move in history. And brothers and sisters, Yahweh can still move in history today. Those ignorant, and I will call them that, those ignorant people who are protesting and who have been protesting, and those ignorant people who are saying, and I will not curse, I'll just say what they've been saying, this should bring us to tears. It should also help us to think of the dire straits they place themselves when they say such things as, F your Jesus. Can you imagine what the Lord thinks? He knows those things, does He not? That people are doing those? As I said this morning, the first time Jesus came, they judged Him. And they sentenced Him. People still, when they say things like that, brothers and sisters, they are still judging Jesus today. They still think they are sentencing Him. But one day, for Jesus said to the apostles, all authority in heaven and on earth is mine. It's been given to me by my Father. When He comes back again, guess who's going to be in the place of judge? He is, isn't He? See, they judged and sentenced Him when He came the first time. They're still doing that today. But when He comes back again, there will be no others. He will be the judge, the sentencer. Now, what does it teach us about, though, what is happening besides these Yahoos or what they're saying in that, but what they're doing with the morals in our country and monuments and tearing them down. Now granted, many of those may not have been to people that you one could necessarily look up to. And we know that many of them, they did bad things, right? They did a lot of good things too. But you see, the lesson here, the reason why God had them set up those stones so that they would remember. So that they would know that Yahweh did it. That He is the ultimate one. But that they were there for a lesson. For them to remember the purpose that we have monuments and memorials like who are the founders of our country and others, and to do what? It's to teach us history. To give us lessons. Both the good and the bad. The reason though they want to tear all that down though is to do away with all of that. To forget about it. And to forget that history. And they think, by doing so, you see, that will obliterate what happened in people's minds. And they can forget about it.
And excuse their current behavior.
What's that, Jeff?
Excuse their current behavior.
But what this teaches in Joshua here, as God said things, He put things in place for a reason and for lesson, for remembrance. Do not forget. But in all of this, Yahweh, God, shows that He is in control. And brothers and sisters, many people may not think so, but He's still in control today. And praise be to God and thanks be to God that He is patient, is He not? Thankfully He is, isn't He? Because many people, if they were to meet Him today, wouldn't be prepared, would they? And they'd be in dire straits. And many people will be. It's important that we remember these things. That we remember what God has given us in His Word for the church. But it's also important for our country that we remember our history. And what happened. And that we teach it to others. Why? So that we not only remember the good things, but we also remember the things that we shouldn't do.
So we don't do them again.
Why? That was one of the reasons why God, Yahweh, had them put the stones there too. Not only so that they would remember the fact that Yahweh did these things, but also for them to remember that they need to be faithful to Him. And we know how that turned out later, don't we? Continual lessons there for us within that. Now next week we're going to pick up with a couple of strange things that happen as they're camped at Gilgal there. Some more significant lessons for us today. But He still has. And has given us things for us to remember. That He is Yahweh. He is a living God. He still works. He still works in the church today. Let us not forget that. And He will continue to work. He'll continue to work in our lives if we allow Him to. That's one of the things we've talked about this morning. It's choice, is it not? We have to choose. And again, it all, to me, comes down to this, and I will emphasize this as long as the years and the days the Lord gives me. It comes down to the transformation of our mind, the renewing of our mind, so that when He comes again, we shall see Him as He is. And brothers and sisters, we won't be standing back being afraid of it. Oh, I don't want to see. I can't see. I can't look in it. You know, look at you. We can't look at Him.
Are you going to shrink away at His coming?
And that's one of the things that I think that people, whenever they see Him,
they're going to try to hide from Him.
They want to hide. Why?
They'll turn away from Him.
Why? Because they will be in the presence. They will be in the presence of ultimate truth. They will be in the presence of ultimate goodness. And many will not be able to stand that. We dare not find ourselves in that place, right?
Well, power and authority.
We dare not find ourselves in that place, and we don't not want to. I pray that others won't as well. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. Father God, we thank You for this day that You've given us, for the opportunity that we have to worship You in spirit and in truth. Lord, may we take these things to heart. That just as those memorials were set up in the Promised Land and in the midst of the Jordan, Lord, that it teaches us obedience, but also, Lord, that it teaches us faithfulness. And it teaches us, oh Lord, how almighty You are, how great You are. And indeed, Father, that even though as the years go by, Lord, and as time marches on, that You are still working, that You are a living God, and that You are still in control of history and space-time through Your Son. Help us to remember these things, Lord. May they give us encouragement. May indeed, Father, may it help us to run the race as Your servant, the Apostle Paul, did, as others who have gone before us have run that race. May it help us to run our race, to be able to complete that race. One day, Father, that we stand before Your Son in all His awesomeness, and that we be overjoyed at that sight. For we know that when He appears, we shall see Him as He is, and will not cower in that, but we shall be like Him. And oh, Father, how we should look forward to those, to that day, to that, when that comes. Help us to share this with others, to share the love, the true love that only comes through Your Son, Jesus. The ultimate truth, which is Your Son. God, You direct us to those, Father, who need to hear these things. Be with us throughout the week. We ask You for guidance and direction throughout the week. And we do ask all these things Your Son's most precious and holy name, the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Mm-hmm.